What's up, everybody? It is Joseph here, and today, as usual, we have our monthly cool down. And sitting on the other side of me, not physically but virtually, it is not Arsene. It is, I guess, a recurring guest on the show, R.
What's going on? I'm back.
He's back just after two episodes. You're already back. So basically, for people at home, Arsene messaged me earlier today and was talking about the wife's sick, the baby is sick because the baby has too much poop, and he had to step up as a father for once in his life, you know, against his will. You know, as much as I was hoping to hear how him and Gary next door started throwing hands this weekend or whatever might have gone down, we'll have to save that for next week as Arsene tends to his poopy baby.
Yeah, we wish them the best, though. You know, I mean, both Anjali and the baby sick. That's tough. That's tough.
That is tough. That is tough. I mean, we're getting into that season where allergies are gonna kick in. All of a sudden, I started sneezing. Like, I had the tissue box and everything over the last couple of days out of nowhere. It was just like me and Amanda. It was Amanda's birthday this weekend. Shout out Amanda. We got dinner, and just halfway through dinner, I just started sneezing and runny nose. And I'm like, this hasn't happened to me in like, it's been a minute. Cause Georgia, I was being assaulted on the regular, even just in the South in general. Do you have pollen allergies or anything like that?
Bro, I was in the exact same boat as you. Last week, I don't know what happened. I just got like, I was in the middle of a meeting and I just started violently sneezing like 10 sneezes in a row. And I literally had to leave the call.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just so I hate Seattle is pretty good about it. Like, I definitely don't have nearly as many allergies as I do when I go down to Georgia. But it's really like, especially when you're in the South, it's like an assault on your nose sensory, nose senses or whatever.
And someone was telling me that your allergies, like, they can get worse over time too, and like, you know, that might play into it as we get older, so that's why it might be hitting a little harder. And so I don't know, all I know is whatever is in the air this season needs to stay away for the next. I mean, I got two air purifiers running and I'm still having a tough time.
A life hack that I don't know if it's true or not, but I saw this couple days ago on Twitter. Somebody said that if you go to the farmer's market, buy honey. You saw this tweet?
Yes. I had multiple people tell me about this, but explain.
I was like, wait a second. So apparently if you go and buy honey from your local farmer's market and use the honey, eat the honey or whatever, it'll acclimate your body to the local pollen because the bees, you know, bees are pollinating all this stuff. So they got all the pollen ingredients on them. So the honey, obviously made from bees, will help acclimate your body to whatever is going to assault your allergies for that season. So I might need to try that.
I definitely want to try. I feel like it's too late now, but like, I will say in preparation for next year, I will be securing the local honey. I will be microdosing pollen. I will be doing what I need to do because the whole sneezing 10 times in a row, and then like I randomly just had like a really bad sore throat and cough for like, I went to a concert with a sick. That sucked. I shouldn't have done that, but like it was just like, I was like, I know there's something in the air and there's nothing I can do about it except take this medicine and hope for the best.
You know, that's a good segue because you know what is in the air? Beef, all right? Yes, a little bit of beef. And I'm glad you're here today because I had this on the agenda anyways, because I was like, dang, I want to talk about music. I want to talk about music beef. I want to talk about, you know, some of our favorites coming out of the woodworks. But I was like, I know Arsene doesn't give a shit about half of this. How am I going to segue this in? He did it for me. He just didn't show up. So this is perfect. So I know you're tapped in, right? Like, we got Chance coming back, we got Childish Gambino coming back, and we got, you know, beef all over the place with Chris Brown, Drake, Kendrick. So I don't know where we want to start with this, but I guess I'll start. I'll pose a question to you.
Okay.
Are you nervous about the return of Childish Gambino, or do you believe it's going to be 100% hit, or are you trepidatious about what his project is going to be?
I like this question. I'm very nervous about this question because I, first and foremost, am a hip hop connoisseur. Okay. Mm. I didn't say rap. I said hip hop. Okay. And for me, okay. Yes, for rap is a element of the hip hop culture in general. Okay. But my thing is, Gambino's last album wasn't my favorite. You know, I think it has some good songs. And the reason I'm nervous is because technically he's coming back with two albums. One of them is a reworking of that last album. So I'm scared.
Oh,
you didn't know that?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. That's it's one of them. I can't remember what it's called. Atla Vista. I'm going to botch that. I got to look it up and correct myself. But that one is supposed to be a rework of his last album. And I'm scared because, like I just said, but the other album, which is the final album, is supposed to be more of a soundtrack, I guess. And so I'm a little more hopeful for that one, but I'm still scared, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think my favorite Gambino project is Stone Mountain / Kauai. Specifically, the Stone Mountain / Kauai that is not on streaming, with all the mixtape, basically the Atlanta mixtape version. Because my man was spitting bars, he was rapping over iconic beats, and it was everything I needed to remind myself that Gambino is him. He is him. Like, that is it. And then to go from that to, you know, the album with Redbone on it, and then the other album after that, I was just like, your time is ending as a rapper, and I don't like that, but it might be time. So,
see, this is very interesting because I feel like music for us, like people, artists that specifically appeal to like Black nerdy kids growing up, and I don't want to put Chance in there, but I'm gonna bundle Chance in there just because I feel like we kind of got the short end of the stick. All right, because like, we started off with a lot of like all these new up and coming rappers, like the new generation has such strong freshman projects, pretty much like all, you know, popular rappers do. They have that one project that puts them on the map. Logic, Gambino for sure. Gambino was the guy. Like he went well beyond that freshman project. But Chance, like all these people, you were like, oh, these guys are going to be the guys for like the next decade or so. And slowly but surely, they all start falling off. Like we all know the fall of Logic, the biracial allegations. He just could not surpass those. He got buried by the biracial, the memes and whatnot. Gambino, I think, is just a victim of being the triple threat of he's trying to do comedy shows. He's trying to act, he's trying to do music. And he's also very experimental, which is, you know, what you were talking about with Redbone and everything. But I'm the same way. Where like his most recent projects, I'm like, this isn't really what I remember loving about the Gambino music. Like the beats are very experimental. Like I still love his singing. I think he has a great voice, but it's still not like I'm playing this over and over again, right? So there's that aspect. And then obviously Chance, the wife guy, we already know his fall off.
That's R.I.P. for Arsene. That's his boy, you know? Well, it was his boy. He doesn't claim him anymore.
Chance might be coming back. We'll talk about that in a second. But then I might be a minority here.
Okay.
But I'm also a Lil Dicky fan. I'm a Lil Dicky fan. I know people, you know, controversial. Lil Dicky is blah, blah, blah. The first album I thought was, I'm not saying it's like lyrically amazing or anything, but I do enjoy that weird Al Yankovic style humor in the tracks. And I'm like, okay, this is funny. Like, this is clever. I like the show. And then we finally got the follow-up album a couple months ago or whatever. And it's just like not clever. It just doesn't go together. And it's clearly like second second fiddle to his show. It was like, okay, we made the show. The show is very good. We made songs to fit into the show. And then we just kind of bundled all the stuff we made into the show into an album. And it doesn't really have any vision. And the songs are just kind of dumb without the context of the show. I kind of hate it. So long story short, it seems like some of these rappers have the mark of death in terms of like, hey, I'm going to try something new. I'm going to like, you know, branch out, or I'm just going to get exposed in Logic's case, or Chance's case. And I feel like very let down that some of our potentially favorite rappers or like rappers that related the most to us all had like short, long longevities in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. You know,
do you think, and I always think about this, especially with these groups of rappers, but like, do you think that this has any impact or relation to, you know, just how mass produced I feel like hip hop music in general is becoming? Like, it feels like almost everybody's just trying new stuff just to like literally just throwing shit at the wall to see what sticks on social media. And that is it. That is what it feels like to me. And I'm not saying this for everybody, but I'm saying it for a lot of different artists. And it's sad because I feel like that is to me, that's what I feel like happened with some of the rappers you were naming off that list.
Yeah. It's really weird too, because I think all of the rappers that we're naming are very smart rappers, right? Like very smart people. I think when you look at a lot of the rap that is kind of just commercialized and put out there or popularized today, it's very dumb lyrics, like just kind of like the beat is carrying a lot of the song. But I think these rappers that we were talking about, like, I'm not going to say they're conscious rappers like Kendrick or anything, but it was clearly like, okay, they're telling a story. They're being clever with their words or whatever. And I feel like in some cases, I don't know if it was like the commercialization or if they just got too like fancy for their own good. Like Gambino, I think, is one of the cases of like, he's really trying to do, like, he really doesn't, like, he's proved himself in one lane, and so he's trying to prove himself in other lanes that at least you and I don't care about particularly, because since it seems like we have the same opinion on the albums, where it's like Kawhi and Stone Mountain, like that's just fire. Like, in anybody who like appreciates hip hop's eyes, like that's clearly fire. But then it's like, okay, we're gonna go do Awaken My Children or whatever it's called, Awaken My Love. And you're just like, okay, I can see the art in this, but it really is kind of like going into a modern art museum and like trying to figure out what you're appreciating, as opposed to like it being organically fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I want to be clear. I am all for artists just saying, fuck it, I want to try something new and I want to do something different. Sure. That, I think every artist has a right to do that. If they want to step out of their lane, they're tired of making the same old, like they're tired of the formula, that is fine. But you got to know that if you're going to switch lanes and your audience or people don't fuck with it, I don't know what you're going to do at that point. Because me personally, you know, I'm not an artist by music standards, but, you know, to some extent, I feel like music, you know, even a lot of music people, you know, artists will say they make for themselves. Like, I'm sure I don't want to name her, but a certain TS initial artist, you know, definitely is like, oh, I wrote these songs because I wanted to express how I was feeling inside and just happened to be in music form and I released it for the world, but it's mostly for me. Whereas I'm like, that's fine and that's cool, but I really feel like in a lot of cases, music, someone's listening to that, you know? Right. So there is some aspect of people got to listen and enjoy. And if they're not enjoying, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay in that? Are you going to try something completely new, or are you going to go back to what you know is working? And I feel like that's the point we're about to be at with Gambino a little bit, Chance for sure. And so I'm scared.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because I feel like some artists can do it better than others. Because, like, I guess moving over to like the whole Kendrick situation, a lot of in the beef with like J. Cole's track or Drake's track, a lot of them either call To Pimp a Butterfly boring, or they're calling Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers a flop by like sales standards. And from my perspective, To Pimp a Butterfly, in my opinion, it was boring to me. I'm sorry. I know,
Whoa,
like,
wait, we need to go, and
this.
we might need to unpack this, but continue your thought.
I mean, like, it's not even like that deep of like I'm listening to it, and it's just like I don't really feel like getting through this. It kind of just feels like a slog. So, and that was, I think that's kind of like what we're talking about, where Kendrick is like experimenting, but he's still experimenting within what people like see him for, which is like a great lyricist, right? He's still like, being conscious and being very particular about how he's building his raps and everything. And then once again, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers is basically like a therapy session album of him like going unpacking all the trauma that he's had over the past several years. And I love that. That was like my favorite album that year. And I love that because it was easier, I won't say relate to, but it was easier to understand the story he was putting out. And like it was just enough of a vibe for me to like be nodding my head and like enjoying the beats and stuff while also really internalizing everything he was saying in each track. Which, To Pimp a Butterfly, I'm not saying that it didn't have value from the social message perspective, but like just from the sonically, it wasn't engaging enough for me to stay tapped into what he was saying. But even Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, which was considered experimental and not what a lot of people wanted from him, I thought that was fire because once again he stayed in his lane. Whereas Chance and Gambino, I think, stray a little bit out of that lane where they're like, okay, we love Gambino because he references nerdy stuff and he talks about like, his life within the context of like, I guess black guys, nerdy black guys or whatever, or like you know what I mean, right? And like, I think he strays so far out of that where he's like, he's singing and he's like talking about like the most abstract shit on the most abstract beats. I think it was a little too much outside of the box. And Chance, who, I mean, that last album, I mean, come
Ooh.
on now. We all know. We're all
Hot
like, come
shower,
on, man.
hot garbage.
Yeah,
And it's so
that.
sad too, 'cause like and I will say, I just want to just to bring back the Kendrick thing. I think it's very interesting your stance on Mr. Morale versus, versus To Pimp a
Butterfly.
Butterfly, because I have the
Yeah.
exact opposite feeling, the exact opposite. Because for me, I felt like Mr. Morale was like, to your point, like him, again, experimenting a little bit and stepping, but staying within, I don't want to say what we expect of him, but I felt like To Pimp a Butterfly sonically was just such a treat. It could because of how it went with not just his lyrics, but the jazz influence and the history behind that, and the people he had who were working on the album, like the make all of that, like absolutely, in my opinion, came together, and it was blackety black black black. And maybe that's part of why I liked it so much, because I felt like that was one of the first albums I really in high school I remember. I remember when it came out and I didn't like it on the first listen. And then I sat there and like really started digging deep and was like, wait a minute, this is hitting me in a way that I was not expecting. And I think this conversation is gonna make me wanna revisit Mr. Morale, because I haven't revisited after maybe the third listen I did. There were a couple of tracks, like We Cry Together. That went platinum in my car. I was not going through any relationship problems or anything, but I think I need to give it a chance now that time has passed, and I'm hearing everyone's perspectives and stuff. But I it is kind of sad still to see, like I can't stop Chance. Chance really, that one really hurt me, because he was really on track. I mean, that man was selling hats with a three on it, and they were going crazy. And like he just had, we had 10 Day, phenomenal. We had Acid Rap, one of the greatest mixtapes of all time, you know?
Yep.
And then we had, you know, his album, and I was like, this is great, Coloring Book. And even some of the other, and even like, you know, some of his other stuff too, like his Christmas album, and you know, the thing he did with Social Experimenter.
That was fire! Yeah,
like those were all good. So he was like, he was consistently here, and he's like, all right, guys, next album. I just got married. We're like, okay, it is on the up for Chance. Like it is really here, and it just missed the mark. So there are very few albums that I can remember that have missed the mark as badly as that one did. Like that is going to be our generation talking about like, wow, what an L.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy how many rappers have fallen off from our generation, because even somebody who I think they fell off, but I don't know if they necessarily deserved it, was Big Sean, where Big Sean, I think, is fighting to stay in the conversation. He used to be on every feature, and Big Sean can fucking rap. Like we talk about Dark Sky Paradise.
Yeah.
I still listen to that album and I'm like, bro, this man was spitting. But I think ever since, and we'll go back to the beef in a second, but I think almost, if I remember correctly, it was almost when Kendrick dropped the Control verse and just disrespected that man on his own track, that people just stopped taking him seriously. And it's like, he didn't really fall off. Like every now and again, he put out, like, he's still making good music. I just don't think he was able to put out an album that could overcome the stigma that Kendrick sunned you, and Kendrick basically sunned J Electronica and everybody else he called out. And I think that just happened recently too. Like Big Sean just dropped a track and Kendrick dropped his.
It was the same day.
I feel bad for Big Sean because he's still in his lane. Like he's still in his pocket, but kind of getting disrespected.
I am, you know, people who know me, I'm a huge Big Sean fan. Saw him in concert. If he announced his tour today, I'm popping, no question. You know, I thought Detroit, phenomenal. Both of them.
Yep.
Like he really makes just genuinely motivational, uplifting music. Did you watch his Tiny Desk?
No, I don't think I did listen to his
Brother, that is your homework for the second we stop recording. Okay. Go watch his Tiny Desk because it reminded me at least. But it reminds me that he has bars, he has club bangers, he has romance songs, he has introspective songs, he has motivational songs, he has the grind hustle songs. And it's really sad because you're right. Like it's really that Kendrick absolutely, just disrespected him on Control. But the crazy thing about that is Big Sean had a great verse on that song either way.
I listened to it yesterday. And Big Sean's verse was so good. But Kendrick just comes on with so much fucking energy. And the fact that he named Big Sean, when he's naming all those people talking about, I'll challenge this person, and he said Big Sean, and the verse is just so powerful that you're like, damn, he just did that to that man right after this man had his verse. You're right. Like Big Sean, like even on the track where it all started to fall apart, it was a crazy verse that he had on there. Yeah. Oh man, I have to look this up because this man, he also had a verse or a track, I swear, like a year or two ago, that I was like, this might be one of the hardest Big Sean tracks that I've heard in a long time. And like nobody really talked about it. I gotta find that. Hold on. I know I have it in my likes or something.
Oh my god.
But
yeah, I need to know because I, you know, and the other thing too is like there are so many little like subs between Kendrick and Big Sean for a minute, and like they allegedly squashed their beef that wasn't even real beef to begin with.
Right.
According to them, which is cool, which I was, you know, he talks about it no interviews or whatever the song, no more interviews or whatever that song was. But then like to bring it back to today, bro is like literally gearing up for a new album, like album rollout with the song or whatever. The song is cool. It's cool. I enjoy it. But he drops it and it's the same day it gets completely overshadowed by Kendrick's one verse. Like, that's just, I mean, that's just unfortunate. And I remember, because I remember when it came out, and I listened to the Big Sean song first, because I was, I mean, I had pre-saved and everything. I was ready. I didn't know even, I was off Twitter. I didn't even know that the Kendrick diss stuff had happened yet. So I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is a fire song. I go on Twitter and I literally see tweets of like, damn, Kendrick like stole Big Sean's moment. And I was like, no, not like this.
Yep. I found the song. The song is called Overtime. It came out in 2020.
Yes.
Overtime is fucking crazy. And it's just like, didn't do nothing for him. Didn't do nothing for him. Like, I might have saw it posted on Twitter or something, but I mean, it just kind of died out. I'm like, this is my probably one of the hard, like, if you're not in the top three people who are rapping right now, this is probably like the next up in terms of like quality of rap that I'm hearing right now. But there's a lot of people that need to make comebacks. I don't know how many are going to successfully do it, but I mean, I guess to segue into like what happened to Big Sean, do we think J. Cole is destined for the same fate now that he got basically L'd, sunned, like had to apologize? Do you think people are still going to, like, when his next album drops, if it's not fire, I feel like people are going to write him off.
Listen, I thought a lot about this, you know, I mean, I think is his next album supposed to be It's a Boy or The Fall Off? I can't remember. I think it's
The Fall Off.
It's The Fall Off that's supposed to be next.
The Fall Off is coming next, yeah.
And then It's a Boy is the last one.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like, you know, unintentionally he has set himself up for what could be a great returning, like, last lap. But he really got to bring it. And like the thing that, you know, I'm hoping for is now that he apologized for his diss, which I felt was not the greatest decision. I understand why he did it. I think he just shouldn't have put out the song in the first place at this point.
Right.
But you know, for him, if he comes on his next album talking about I'm the best, I'm unstoppable, nobody can step to me, he's gonna absolutely get clowned and it will not hit. I need him to like divert and let the whole album be about, you know, maybe he's like trying to build back his esteem or trying to grind or I don't know, something, but it cannot. He could literally do a whole album just rapping about how, you know, he's tired and he's ready to retire. And I would still think that would do so much better than him coming with the energy he came with on literally his last two albums.
First Person Shooter okay.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but both of his last two albums were basically him talking about how he's the best and it was great. Yeah. Like, but you can't, you've committed the cardinal sin of basically just, you know, saying I was capping the entire time. And
I think so. Something that was interesting. I saw a clip from the Joe Budden podcast today. And they made a good point. All right. They made a good point, because basically what happened was, like, it's that kind of thing where, like, oh, now that somebody's down, everybody want to jump in. And it was Kanye, which, oh my God, Kanye with his, Like That remix. I don't know if you heard that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where it's just insanity, right? Where, first of all, and I'll talk about this in a second, but he's like, oh yeah, we all need to eliminate Drake. We're all coming together on We Don't Trust You to Eliminate Drake. He comes on, releases this track, and he says, I can't even think of a Drake line, but then proceeds to just destroy J. Cole, and not destroy in like a clever way. It's like pretty lazy writing, but he's just shit talking him, talking about, oh yeah, he makes the pussy dry, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, if I was basically the people on Joe Budden podcast are basically like, if I'm J. Cole, this is like the perfect opportunity for me to like get some respect back and like basically make a record specifically targeting Kanye and proving that like, okay, Kendrick, that's my boy. Like I didn't want to start no bad blow with him because it didn't feel right to put that energy out. But Kanye, it's already been fuck Kanye with Cole for a minute, right? So they were like, you could tear him up and like show people what you can really do without feeling bad. I'm like, he honestly probably should, because people are really going to be playing with his name for some time now. And I don't want that for him. I think he's still one of the best out there.
For sure. No question. No question in my mind. No question. But that one line definitely hurt his rap right in this moment, you know? Like, there's just no denying that, unfortunately. And people... Honestly, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's kind of like a bear trap, too. He kind of stepped in the bear trap because Kendrick did not even come at him that hard.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
He didn't really even say anything specifically towards him. He just called out a line that he said that wasn't really anything particular. And then his diss track, I know everybody was like, when the track originally came out, people were like, oh, this is hard, which it was a good track, but you could tell his heart wasn't in it. Like, he wasn't saying nothing. He was not saying nothing with no venom. He was not trying to really hurt nobody's feelings. And even first time listening, I was like, oh, this sounds good. But I'm like, this is kind of like, he's kind of like playing around with him. Like, he's like complimenting him and then trying to like say it's just, it's like a little boring, but not being too hurtful. I'm like, this is kind of weird. So he kind of like set himself up for failure, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't, like you said, I don't know how people are going to take his stuff seriously. Even if he switches the content, I feel like, because the album seemed like he kept saying it's coming out soon. So if he releases it too soon, people are not going to forget that. And it's just going to be like a waste of a release, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. So now we have to segue to your boy. Everybody teaming up to fight the Raps Avenger, the Raps Thanos.
You know what?
Drake.
This is what I have to say, all right?
Yeah, get it off.
Like, I just need people to let these boys fucking rap, right? Let these boys like have their back and forth. Kendrick and Drake. First of all, I think everybody that came out on a feature track is super corny. Like, we're talking about, I'm like, and the track, like I said, I think I tweeted this or something. Like, the tracks are so half ass. Like, it's like, we don't trust you, but, and it's clearly Drake dissing, but everybody's verses is like sneak dissing. Like, and I'm like Kendrick clearly came with some fire, and like, regardless of whatever was going on, like, Kendrick had the verse that was hot. Same as Control, right? It wasn't like necessarily saying anything about Drake in particular or outside of fuck the big three or whatever. But it was just, you know, it had the right energy to say, I'm the top dog. Everybody else, like, I feel like one, Metro gave them whack beats, pretty much everybody else whack beats. Like, Metro gave Kendrick should have paid a rack, multiple racks for that beat, that beat that he got featured on, because that is a hard beat. So I'm like, this is great. Everybody else doing the jump in, I'm like, this doesn't really do anything except make y'all look worse. Because it's like, y'all get off one feature track and it's like, oh, we don't like you. We don't know why they don't like him. Like, they're not giving us any tea or anything like that. They're just kind of talking shit. It just seems petty to me. I don't know.
I had to see, you know, because the one that stood out to me, who I was like, at first I was like, this is feels out of left field, was The Weeknd on all those tracks. Basically, like you said, sneak dissing. But then I, you know, I had someone quickly explain to me how, you know, Drake was trying to sign him and he was like, no, and it's a good thing he didn't, because if he did, he would have been in the graveyard like the rest of OVO, and y'all can come for me, but whatever. But at the same time, it does feel like just like, it's like, oh, y'all dissing Drake? Let me hop in. I got a couple words. But it's not anything crazy, you know, which is
no.
I felt like if you like, there's a reason like no one's really talking about those tracks, right? They're just talking about Kendrick because Kendrick brought the heat.
Yeah.
But then now, did you listen to Rick Ross's diss on Drake?
I listened to it. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was fire. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. But that's also because I really love Rick Ross. But again, I also think he was a prime example of someone who was just like, y'all beefing with Drake? Let me get my shots off too. And he did it. Yeah. And I think he could have just let that track ride, and then that's it. The tweets and the Instagram stuff is funny, but I'm like, bro, I just want everyone to keep it on the wax, and let me just see bar for bar who's coming out top. Let Drake have his moment, because as much as I feel like Drake is a little bit of a culture vulture, and he's definitely hip hop commodified, embodied into an artist. I 100% feel all those things. That man can rap, and I will never deny that. That man can absolutely rap. You know, I know he has, you know, he allegedly has some ghostwriters and stuff for stuff. That's fine, but he can still rap. So I want him to bring it with Kendrick and just let them go. Like, and you know, people, I hear about, like, you know, like explaining this to like my non-rap listening friends, because they're seeing the tweets and they're like, what's the big deal? And I'm like, yo, this is like huge. This is monumental. This is, I don't know if I can say this is our Jay-Z Nas beef of our generation. I don't know if I'd put it there.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd put it on, like, you know, it's definitely not like Biggie Tupac level, but no, this is by far probably one of the biggest rap beefs we've had in recent memory. That's between like specific people, and it's also sparked by two people who are legitimately at the top. So 100%. this is like the king prize fight, like, and no matter what happens, I don't even, and I said this to Tori, but I was like, look, I bet you all three of them, they're cool on the low ski. Like, they're like, hey, let me just, they sent off a text like, hey bro, we good, but we gonna get these raps off so we can just, like, you know, eat off of this a little bit, which is fine, because ultimately, like I said, I'm a hip hop connoisseur, and an important part of hip hop is battling in every form, in rapping, in DJing, in breakdancing, in graffiti. It has always been battling. Okay. So when, and this is my hot take I'm going to bring to this podcast now that I have a platform. I think it is crazy when people start saying, why you got to pit female rappers against each other. I hate that argument, because we sit here and argue about who's better, Drake or Kendrick, every damn day. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So I think it is absolutely fine for them to be beefing, for us to be talking about who's the better rapper, Nicki or Cardi. It's Nicki. And I think that's fine, because ultimately they're sparring and they're battling is just going to improve both of them, while also, you know, bring all these other people up and help them improve their own skill, which is ultimately what 100%. I think rap needs right now, because I'm tired of the TikTok songs.
You said everything so perfectly. And I think everything you said is why I am so annoyed by all these other people jumping in, because y'all motherfuckers cannot rap. Y'all motherfuckers are, y'all don't, even when Kanye put his verse on like that, I'm like, okay, Kanye is dope. Like, he remixed the beat. That beat was fire when he remixed it, put the choir in there, everything. But his verses was ass. Yeah. It was just so ass. So I'm like, y'all are corrupting, like, the history around what could be a very, like, heavyweight battle and what ultimately will be. Like, and like you said, Drake commodified, all this. A lot of people say, oh, he's a cornball, all this stuff. But, like, at the end of the day, when you look at when Drake is trying to rap, when Drake is actually trying to say something, like, that shit is always fire. Like, look all the way back to the Meek Mill shit when he, like, gave us Charged Up and Back to Back. That shit was fire. And then, obviously, most recently, like, the Pusha T and Drake stuff. Both of them, like, that's exactly what I want out of this conversation, where Pusha T released, I forgot what the first track was called, but then he released Story of Adidon or whatever. And, like, I know that was what ended it. And that was fire in a different way, where it's just like, holy, you are hiding a child. It's like just crazy. Like, it's like a crazy thing to put on a fucking tape. But, like, even before that, Duppy Freestyle was clean as fuck when Drake released Duppy Freestyle. I'm like, all of this is fire, right? So you're just getting good music on both sides, right? So I'm not And that's kind of like, I'm looking at this beef and I'm trying so hard to just like sit back and enjoy it. And everybody from all different corners of everywhere is trying to ruin it. You got motherfuckers who can't rap trying to jump in and get their two cents in and try and steal the narrative. And you got people on the internet. And this is the shit I hate the most, because I'm like, y'all motherfuckers are not fans of hip hop. Like, y'all being like, oh, Kendrick already won. Kendrick doesn't have to respond. And I'm like, why are y'all saying Kendrick does not have to respond? Like, this is what we want. We want a response from him, because it's just going to give us more great content for the history books. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Hell yeah, Kendrick needs to respond. Like, I hate the, like, the thing where, like, and I think I talked about this last week too, but like, Drake obviously released Push Ups, which was cool because he was dissing everybody. And like, he basically just took everybody one by one, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And then he released Tailor Made Freestyle, which, you know, was super conscious. Are you anti Tailor Made Freestyle?
I think he should have left that one in the drafts, left that on the hard drive.
I appreciate it because it just adds to the narrative of the beef, right? Like, I don't look at it as a, oh yeah, this is his single, and like, oh, like, you know, I'm judging this as a standalone single. I'm just adding this to, okay, what is Drake doing as his strategic moves for this beef? Same thing like when he released, I think it was Duffy Freestyle, where he sent them the fucking check. Like, he built Pusha T's label for like making him respond or something. Yeah, like, Drake is about this shit, like with the mind games and stuff, which I find super entertaining.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, this is cornball, call him cornballs and shit. But I'm like, this is entertaining, where he's like he's talking to Kendrick as his legends, and like, Snoop Dogg passed Kendrick the mic at some event like years ago, and like, he's basically, they're begging this motherfucker to respond on a track, and Drake is just playing around with it. I'm like, this shit is funny, like, and it's just gonna add to the narrative when Kendrick finally responds. If Kendrick adds this response into his verses somehow and just like builds the story up, I'm all for that. So I hate this whole, like, it's almost like people want it to be a popularity contest where they want Drake to lose, or Drake fans want Kendrick to lose, but at this, or like, they're like, ha, he's not responding, or like, whatever. I'm like, I just want to hear good music back and forth. Exactly. I want an entertaining story, right? Like, I was not tapped into rap beef of yesteryear with the Jay-Z and Nas or whatever, but like,
you missed out.
I recently saw a clip of Jay-Z and Nas. They were like, I guess the beef was getting squashed or whatever. And there's an interview where the interviewer was like, and yeah, like, Jay-Z said he like fucked your ex or your baby mama or something. Like, how do you feel about that? And Nas was just like, what do you say to that? Like, it was a hard line. And, you know, I can't even say, I'm like, that is fucking funny. That's funny. Like, so in, there are no rules, right? Like, even looking at the Pusha T shit, like, Pusha T literally said that Drake's producer was about to die. Like, he was like, tick, tick, tick. And you're just like you listen to that and you're like, yeah, that's some foul ass shit. But in the history of this, it's like, it's going to go down in the books. And it's like, he kind of got his ass. So, like, yeah. I don't know.
And
we'll see.
And I think the other thing that I appreciate about all of this is, I, like you said, I'm here for the good music. For me, it's always about the leveling each other up and pushing each other to be better. That's fine. And, you know, like, even if you say like some absolutely out of pocket shit, I still prefer that than people duking it out with guns, man. Or like, actually, like, you know, like, because I mean, yeah, it's so cool to see it like actually play out, and like, we are watching again. We are watching two rap juggernauts go at it. No matter how you want to spin it, no matter if you want to include J. Cole or not, no matter what, it is still two of the greats going at it, and we will probably not see something like that for a long time. But yeah. Like, and going back to the like. You know, I love rap beef, and some of my favorite rap songs ever are all like diss tracks, or, you know, some songs where they're subbing people and stuff. But I think, you know, like, it is a skill. It is truly a skill because,
yeah.
Ooh, I'm gonna catch some hot fire for this maybe, but like for specifically Takeover, Jay-Z versus Ether, Nas, right? I think, you know, there's all kinds of, everyone's like, Ether was just disgusting. And I mean, it's true, the beat was hard, but ultimately it's just Nas calling Jay-Z gay like 60 times. You know, like that's literally that's literally the whole song, right? Over a hard beat. Again, it did what it needed to do. But I think there was something also beautiful about Takeover where it was, you know, you play that and you listen to it, it is just Jay-Z coming from all different angles, attacking your money, attacking the fact that you got your girl, attacking like your songs. Like there's just a level of creativity. So it's always going to be cool to see, okay, we got super lyrical, miracle, spiritual rapper Kendrick. How's he going to do a diss track? Like a proper diss track. Like we saw how he did Control. And, you know, that was just, it was unprovoked. So now we get to see, how does Kendrick, what happens when you directly poke the bear? And he's going to be like, is he going to, you know, go like 60 miles ahead of our heads and rap in some 4D chess? Or is he going to just say, I'm here for the bars. I'm going to make you feel it. And I'm going to make you wish you never rapped again. Either way, it's going to be fire. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part about all of this. Because like Kendrick has the skill 100%.
No
but
doubt.
We've never seen him in a head to head, right? Like he's never really had to play in this type of environment, right? It is like, you know, Control, just go out there and insult everybody and leave. And it's like, I wasn't really calling out anybody specific. I'm just saying, well, he didn't name like 10 motherfuckers in that track, but it was just kind of like, hey, I'm just proving a point type beat. I'm not trying to fight anybody specifically. And same with this, where he's like, fuck the big three, it's just big me. It wasn't like he was calling out anything about J. Cole's library or his character or Drake's library or his character or anything like that. He was just kind of making a statement like, I'm me, right? So it's very interesting. Because people are like, oh, Kendrick is going to wash Drake. Drake is going to, you know, lose automatically. But I'm like, Drake does this shit on the regular in terms of like, he like goes, he's going to go up against Kanye, Meek Mill, like all these motherfuckers. And Drake is like a king of like the wordplay in terms of like targeting shit that actually hurts you or what I assume hurts them, right? Like, him talking to Kanye and talking about send your driver to destination, like, you know, basically like on 2 a.m. on Bridal Path or whatever the fuck it's called. Like, I'm like, that shit is fucking hard, right? Like, and my only thing is like Kendrick has a lot of ammo on Drake because Drake is just such a public fucking guy and he has decades of stuff you can like choose from to target. But also Kendrick just put out a fucking super vulnerable ass record about how he and his fucking wife had all these problems and like he put all his fucking laundry out there. So if Drake really wanted to, like, you can just go pick any fucking track off of Mr. Morale and Big Steppers and say, hey, look, you put this information out there, I'm about to clown you for it. So I think it could be a very interesting back and forth, just depending on when Kendrick releases.
Yeah, yeah. I know there's some rumors that Kendrick's supposed to be dropping something around May. I don't think that's true at all. I think that is cap. I think we won't see a Kendrick.
May is almost here.
I know. I don't think that's happening. I don't think we will see a Kendrick response for a while, personally.
See, I mean, if that happens, and I know people say, oh, Kendrick doesn't have to respond. Like, Kendrick has to respond. Like,
I agree.
Like, at the end of the day, it's just like any sport, right? Like, you can say motherfucking whatever player, you can say Michael Jordan is the best player of all time, but until he goes against the other best player, like until he shuts down the other superstars, like in a direct head-to-head battle, it's like there's no conversation. And Michael Jordan did that, right? Like, and Kendrick is kind of like that guy right now, where like he clearly has the skills, he has the skill set, but like if he just doesn't respond and like Drake lets Drake back to back him, drop these two tracks, say he's afraid of fucking Taylor Swift and all this stuff, and just kind of goes about his business, I'm like, I'm not gonna say that Kendrick's not that guy, but I think that y'all can't play with Drake's name ever again, because exactly. Like, yeah, I mean, because like you can only do the story of Adidom once, you're right. You can only say you're hiding a child one time, right? Like that's the one nuke that you can drop. Like, but other than that, he doesn't really lose when it comes to a head-to-head pin battle, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping Kendrick gives us something. I don't think it needs to be this week, like everybody's saying, Drake's begging him to release like right now. I don't think that needs to happen, but I do want to hear him attack somebody directly. But also Kendrick somehow seems very similar to J. Cole in that it doesn't seem like Kendrick ever wants to beef with anybody directly or attack anybody specifically. Like, at least from my knowledge, I don't know if Kendrick sneak disses people like that. I think whenever Kendrick talks shit, he kind of says, hey, bro, like, I don't care who I mention. I'm better than all of these guys. And it's kind of like you said, as like, this is an art. This is a sport. Like, he's basically saying, I can compete against anybody when it comes to rapping and I'll be good. I'm not afraid of nobody. But he's never really like, I fucked your bitch, or like you're sorry, you're whatever. Like, he doesn't really engage in that type of rap, so I can see him not really wanting to get dirty. Like, he can, I think they can jab back and forth, but I'm curious how far he would be willing to go.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, you're right. I don't want to call him a rap pacifist, but that's what we're calling J. Cole.
Yeah,
rap pacifist. Yeah, yeah. But he's definitely like a, if I only throw a punch if I really have to, and I mean like I really have to, and he hasn't so far, hasn't, it's coming across as he doesn't see a need to throw, he doesn't see a need to throw a direct punch right now, which is cool if that's what he wants to do. But you know, I do want to see a spar. I do want to see some sparring.
I will take that back. I did see one clip that got like started surfacing when all this stuff kind of started up, of like Kendrick in like some fucking warehouse ass room with some other rappers. And he did, I think, diss Drake in that track. And that was like the, I had never heard that track before. But he was like calling out Drake and saying like, kind of like dissing him. No, he didn't say him by name, but he called him like, I forgot what he said, but it was clearly, oh, he's saying, but this was like years ago. So I don't know what brought that about back then, but maybe it's a different time, different place type beat.
Yeah. I think it sounds like Kendrick and J. Cole, their therapist is doing too good of a job. You know? As terrible as it is, they're doing great. I'm like, listen, can your therapist just give you a free pass to just, you know, if you guys text each other's therapist and be like, yo, can we get a one-time pass to just let off some shots and then toxic. Go back, be toxic? Yeah. Like, that's it. Like, but, you know, respect to them for, you know, growing and doing their thing. I still think, you know, we got a lot of good music to come from them. But at the same time, like, they've been around for a minute. Like, I mean, J. Cole's getting ready to retire. Like, Kendrick might be doing the same, you know? So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, what comes next, because I don't have the best hope for what's next right now. I need to... I see a lot of people who are just awaiting on the wings. They didn't get the Kendrick... You know, people who are like, who've been on tracks with Kendrick, like I'm thinking like, again, Big Sean or like Rhapsody, like some of these people, I'm like, y'all, they're hard. They got bars. They're just not super popular. And I don't think they're going to ever reach that level, unfortunately, of rap superstardom. So it's just going to have to wait for whoever is going to be the next big three, unfortunately.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, like, it doesn't really seem like there are any like great candidates like right now. Like, I mean, Jid is like kind of, Jid is clean, but to be fair, I feel like he's not really like dropping, he's not dropping the mainstream albums to get him enough credibility as a big three type figure. But
Jid, you know me, I don't know what would set it off, but man, J. Cole, tap in, Jid, come fight for you.
I know. That's what I know. He needs to come in and just drop a little fire for his boy.
Yeah, man.
For Dream, like, though.
One time, say that man will single-handedly will save Dreamville in terms of
right.
I love their roster. I love everybody on there, but that man is just truly just unfuckwittable.
Yeah, Jidus claim. You would expect that we'd have like three or four more guys kind of like that, but we really don't have like a lot of mainstream guys that are interested in like clean rapping. Like it's basically like let the producer carry me, make a club banger, make like a hood platinum certified hood banger type beat. I mean, it's like nobody's really saying shit anymore, which is kind of, I know that's a boomer thing to say, but
it is, but
it's kind of sad, man.
I mean, like, I think there is going to be at some point in the future, there is going to be a whole study done. I mean, well, maybe it'll end by the end of the year with how the U.S. Senate is going. But we really got to take a look at like the impact of TikTok on music in general. Like, I really think that like there is a whole group of people who are making music and with that in mind, like that you mentioning that to anybody, you know, over our age is insane. They're like, why would you, like, what is the point of like, you know, making something that's just going to be played in the background of your little video? But they be making bags. It's basically as crazy as this is going to sound terrible, but we are just getting ready for what I see as a wave of one hit wonders.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because like I really do think like back in the day you were producing like the Big Sean's and even Gambino's and stuff of the world got notoriety by like the mixtape route, right, where they were proving themselves on other people's like beats and stuff like that, and that's how they got noticed. And it was mostly because, hey, I had clever writing on top of somebody else's beat. Now it is like you just get notoriety from TikTok, which for the most part either means you can write a hook, somebody else can write a hook for you, or somebody can make you a clean ass beat that it doesn't matter what you're saying on top of it. It's just engaging for 30 seconds.
Exactly.
So exactly. We're kind of fucked in that aspect, but I don't know. I'm going to end this on kind of a random note, but still music related.
Okay.
You know what I've discovered over the past like year?
Tell me.
League of Legends. I had to mention one video game in this fucking cooldown. League of Legends and their fucking contracted songs that they do for whatever they do.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yes. Like it's honestly like it's like I'm flabbergasted. Like it's fucking crazy where I'm like listen to the This Is League of Legends track on a playlist on Spotify. And if you don't like some of the like K-poppy stuff, I love KDA, like the little fake girl band that they made. I think that's fire. So I like all the tracks, but even then, like that's where we got the enemy Jhin verse from Arcane. I'm like, this is fucking hard. And they have like, they have UK rappers on there and just like some randomly fucking hard tracks. And they have it of all genres. I'm like, whoever is the mastermind over at Riot Music or whatever, they are fucking in their bag, man.
They definitely need, I put them at the same guy, and oh my God, I almost want to look up his name to give him his proper credit. The guy who runs NPR Tiny Desk, who sources the black guy, I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry, bro. I know you're never gonna listen to this, but that dude and the person running the Riot Music, I truly believe those, if we have more people like that, we're gonna have great music to come.
Yeah, it's insane. Like when you think about some that type of role, and you're like, how hard could it be? But like I'm looking at these like two different aspects, and you're like, oh shit, like this is such a high level of skill to put together these sorts of playlists with these artists. And like in the case of League of Legends, they're creating all new tracks essentially, or at least like co-opting new tracks to advertise with League of Legends. Like It's fucking insane. And Tiny Desk, once again, like, you're getting all new flavors of these known songs. Like, I'm still listening. I still listen to the Kirk Franklin Tiny Desk on repeat regularly. And I'm like, I don't even fucking listen to Kirk Franklin. Like,
oh, you're missing out. My man got bangers, but that's a separate conversation.
I mean, you know, back in the day, but nowadays I don't have Kirk Franklin in the rotation other than, I mean, Tiny Desk, League of Legends. Do a little seminar. Do a TED Talk. I need to know the secrets. How the fuck do y'all do this?
Yeah. 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 All right. We got to end it on. I need to know either your favorite Tiny Desk or one Tiny Desk people, the listeners should check out.
Oh, my favorite Tiny Desk. I would honestly say one of my favorite Tiny Desks is probably the Kirk Franklin one. Mm. But I also like the, and I might get flack for this one, but I like the Jack Harlow Tiny Desk because they kind of curated his tracks for that Tiny Desk perfectly, where like his whole album that he like pulls tracks from is not tough like that, but they pulled like enough songs where you're like, it kind of made me, I was like, oh shit, Jack Harlow is kind of clean. And then he came out with his next album. I'm like, okay, well, he's clean. Like, he has like a 25% hit rate, where like 25% of the tracks are good. But Tiny Desk had it locked in. But yeah, there's probably like 10, 20 other ones I could recommend. But yeah, Kirk Franklin is really the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Word.
What about you?
See, you know, like you said, there's like 10 or 20 I could lift off. I mean, the Tyler one is goated. The Mac Miller one is top tier. The Anderson .Paak one is one of the greatest.
Ooh, the Anderson .Paak one is good.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend is Buddy. That's the one I'll recommend. Buddy is like, have you ever listened to Buddy?
I have not listened to Buddy.
He's like West Coast, like he's a rapper, but like rapping kind of R&B a little bit. You might like him actually. Okay. But that one is just very, very soulful, and I thoroughly enjoyed him. He's a funny dude. He's do you remember on the Dreamville project, the Revenge of the Dreamers 3, you remember the song since 1993 I've been smoking weed, ask about me. That's that guy.
That sounds familiar.
Or the what's the other one? Wells Fargo. He's on Wells Fargo too. So okay, yeah,
I'm gonna have to give this guy a listen.
You definitely got to give
him Buddy out.
His newest album that just came out maybe a couple weeks ago is very good. It's pretty introspective, but dope vibes. Great listen in the car, in my opinion. So that's my rap. Okay,
sounds good. Well, we did the impossible. All right, we talked about rap and hip hop for over an hour. This is incredible.
This
is probably one of my favorite cool downs to date.
Hell yeah. Because
Arsene doesn't let me talk about this shit, all right?
Yeah.
Arsene just wants to talk about his fucking neighbor, his fucking little side projects that he's working on. And whenever I want to bring up some fucking cultured discussions, I get shut down, all right?
Listen, you kick him off and you invite me on whenever you want to do it again. I think this has to be the official squashing of our beef. It feels only right.
All right.
We don't even have a real beef, but this is it for the listeners.
Yeah, this episode was so good that the beef had to be squashed.
Truly, truly. Real.
All right, well, thanks for coming on for the second time in like a month. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, man. I always have stuff I want to plug. Y'all can find me on.
Plug it up.
You can find me on Instagram or Twitter at @rbenotkelly. But the main thing I want to plug is, you know, I did a TED Talk about 6 years ago. It's called "Locked and Coded: The Respectability Politics of Dreadlocks." Everybody should go check it out on YouTube. It's cool. Learn a little something and stop asking me if I wash my hair, because I do regularly. Like every 2 weeks or every week if I really need to. So stop.
Okay. All right. All right. There you go. You guys, hopefully you enjoy. For the people, I know there has to be like 90% of our regular audience that was like, oh, fuck, they're talking about hip hop for an hour. There's no fucking way. But for those that made it to the end, shout out to y'all. And you guys probably already know where to find me, The Hoop Man, where the E is a 3. And obviously playerplayerpod.com/discord to join the conversation and act a fool with us in our little Discord. And with that, everybody, I will see you next week. Goodbye.